Please stand with us, won't you? We want to sing page number 66 at Calvary. The victory that God won that day upon that old rugged cross. This songwriter puts it in words. It's on Calvary.
This morning, let's go ahead and take our Bibles, please, and we're going to open them up to the book of Psalm number one. I used to say Psalm chapter one, and I had someone who must have been more educated than me and said, no, they're not chapters, those are songs. So it's just Psalm one. Open to Psalm chapter one, all right? Because that's what I know them as, is chapters. So Psalm chapter 1, and while this, it may appear as though we're starting verse by verse, psalm by psalm, through the book of Psalms, we maybe will go all the way through, maybe not. I'm looking at the book of Psalm. That's going to take us years to get through that, a year of Sunday mornings. So we'll just go as the Spirit leads during the week. But in Psalm chapter 1, this first psalm is kind of a fitting introduction to the entire collection of psalms here. It describes man as God intended him to be, not as we are, but as God intended him to be. And this psalm provides the basis for all of the psalms that follow it. It compares happiness that is found in the Lord with the sadness of those who don't know him. And we have that comparison. Notice that it begins with the word blessed. And what we're going to see is that blessedness, blessedness, and godliness, those two things, are inseparably joined together. In other words, you can't have one without the other. All right? If there were a sign on the roof of your house, picture it. A big sign. Maybe like the sign they have on the new resale shop just around the corner from us. You've seen that? That have it bolted in 2x4 to the roof of that building. Put that one on the roof of your house. Flashing lights. Big red letters. And instead of it saying resale, okay, it would say, the blessed live here. Wouldn't we find a godly man and a godly woman living inside? You can't have one without the other. Oh, we can have varying amounts of joy in our lives because there are times when we're happy, isn't there? We can have varying amounts of joy, and the world offers a lot of things that bring us joy or happiness, and we know that if we go to those for our joy or happiness, most of us know it's temporary. It doesn't last. But true joy, the kind of joy that is lasting joy, apart from being godly, is not possible. Let's look at this first psalm here, and initially, right at the beginning, let's look at verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, we could read that first verse this way. The blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not sit or stand in the way of sinners, and he does not sit in the seat of the scornful. There's a lot of nots there, isn't there? A lot of don'ts. And throughout the Bible, folks, there are a lot of don'ts, aren't there? In fact, some people are turned off because they don't like to be told what they can't do. But God has placed them there for our protection. I know we get to a certain age in our life where we think we don't need protecting. We get to a certain age in our Christian life where we have heard the story of David and Goliath this many times, and so now we know. We know everything we need to know. But I want you to consider the rules that you as a parent placed on your children, or have still there if your children are still there. And you had rules placed there for what? For their protection. Don't play by the fireplace. Why? It would protect them. Don't touch the stove when the thing is glowing orange on top. That's not a good thing, okay? And we had our rules for their protection. Maybe you had a couple of rules just for your own personal sadistic enjoyment of keeping them under your thumb. No, I'm just kidding. But our rules are there for their protection. So are God's. The very first rule was in the Garden of Eden. And why did God hold out one tree from them? I mean, it's kind of like, not really, but I mean, you might look at it this way. It's kind of like you go into a park and you've got all these benches to sit on, and one of them has the sign wet paint. What do you got to do? You got to touch it, right? Or you walk into a building and there's all these doors and one of them says, do not open. Don't you just got to know what's behind that door? And God did this to Adam and Eve. That is so unfair, isn't it? Gave them all of these trees, all of these fruits, all of these vegetables. You can eat anything you want, just not that tree. Why? Well, he did it for their own protection. Adam and Eve disobeyed. All right, we understand, we know that story. And the result of their disobedience is Romans 5:19. For as by one man disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Beautiful picture there that God has for us. One man, Adam, because of what he did, he plunged all the rest of us into a world of sin, a sin nature. We're born with it. By the way, dads, we can never, never underestimate the power of our influence and the decisions that we make. Even though we think, oh, this is just between me and my wife, or this is just my deal, it's not going to hurt anyone. Try convincing Adam of that. It affects people. But it says the obedience of one, Christ, because of that shall many be made righteous. That means, folks, there is a sinful nature in all of us that is opposed to God. Those of us that have been saved for a while, we saints, that's kind of maybe a hard thing to swallow. You mean there's a part of me that is opposed to God? Not just a part of me that doesn't like some of the rules in the Bible, but is actually opposed to him. Against, anti-God, even. Yes, that's our sin nature, and we have to battle it every day. That's our default, if you will. It's kind of like parking your car on a hill, okay? And if you don't put that car into park, the car is going to roll backwards. It's the default. That's where it's going to go. Our default spiritually is to roll backwards. If we're not constantly moving forward, the moment we stop because we think, I'm not like I used to be. Praise God, I'm so much better than what I was. I'm just like all the other people at church, or most of them. There's a few holy rollers, you know, that are going real extreme with this church thing. But I'm feeling comfortable right now. That's when we start rolling backwards. We can never be comfortable because our default is to slide away from God. This sinful nature that we had, it leads us away from God and away from true joy. True joy. So God gives us some don'ts that will keep us in a place of protection and joy. That's what we find in God's Word. And these are given for us here in verse number 1 of Psalm 1. First of all, a blessed man, a joyful man, he is opposed to godless thinking. This is one of the don'ts. He is opposed to godless thinking. The ungodly man is unconcerned about religion. How many people live in Taylorville? 12,000? Plus or minus? You fill up every church in Taylorville, no matter what they believe. Fill up every single seat in every church. 1,000? There's a lot of people not in church. Unconcerned. Unconcerned about religion. Unconcerned about Christianity. Unconcerned about God. Perhaps even unconcerned about their own salvation. Oh, well, it'll all work out in the end, they think. The godly man doesn't seek... He doesn't seek his advice from the world's way of thinking. He opposes godless thinking. His philosophy isn't the world's philosophy when it comes to making life decisions. His level of Christian involvement, by the way, his level of Christian involvement isn't dictated by what the world does. Oh, my friends, my coworkers, my neighbors, they're good people. I don't hang around those people that aren't good people. They're good people and they go to church just Sunday morning. So that's okay. As long as I'm going Sunday morning, I'm doing pretty good. We're letting our level of Christian involvement be dictated by the world's way of thinking. His godly man, his political ideology, it isn't Democrat. It isn't Republican. It isn't liberal. It isn't conservative. It's biblical. We totally reject all of those and just look and see what God says. The godly man seeks his counsel and his advice from the Word of God. Now, why does any of this matter? Well, I read an article a few years ago that was dealing with the content of music that our teenagers listen to. And this was several years ago. And this study showed that 51% of teens who consistently listened to lyrics of immoral content became involved in immoral activity over a 2-year period. That's what they found. And this behavioral scientist in the study, he said, we found that the more kids listen to music with degrading, immoral content, the more likely they were to become involved in that content. A writer of a music magazine, he was quoted as saying, everyone pretty much understands that. Deep down in their hearts, that the things we put in our minds, the things we think about, those are the things that affect the way we act. This is someone in the music industry. What does God say? Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, the point of that was not for our parents to go home and look at all of their teens' music on their phones and electronic devices, although we need to. But this isn't just for teens. It's for moms and dads, too. A godly man does not go to the world's way of thinking for making their decisions, whether it's in music or talk shows or standing around the water cooler at work. We go to God's word. David said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. The godly man is opposed to godly thinking. But he's also opposed to, number two, he's opposed to lawless living, as we see there in verse 1. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. We say, well, I'm a law-abiding citizen. The godly man, however, doesn't tolerate sin around him. He can't stand it. He doesn't like to be around it. There's a key word there. He doesn't like to be around it. When he's around it, he doesn't feel good. He doesn't feel right. He's not comfortable being around it. He doesn't let his children be around it. You say, oh, but Pastor, they're not doing what all their friends are doing. They're just there. They're around it. The godly man doesn't like to be around it. Years ago, several years ago, when I was here as a youth pastor and I became the chaplain at the sheriff's office, I had gone away for several days for some training, chaplaincy training. We had spent a half a day. And I remember I called my wife that night, and I didn't even want to talk. It was darkness. We spent a half a day looking at pedophiles and profiles and statistics and numbers. Would you want to be around that? I had 4 hours of it. I couldn't stand it. Folks, sin is sin, isn't it? So why is it we can't tolerate that, but we can tolerate hanging out with our friends while they've popped the top of a keg? We're not drinking, but we're okay having a good time with our friends while they all get drunk. We're okay with that? The godly man doesn't tolerate sin, doesn't want to be around it, doesn't want it around him, and doesn't want his children around it either. But he's also supposed to be opposed to careless speaking. In verse 3, it says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. When we scorn, when we're scorners and we're scorning someone, we're talking about words here. And a godly man is opposed to this careless speaking. Those who occupy this position of a scorner, they're filled with pride. They're filled with contempt. They regard the things of God, or at least some of the things of God, with carelessness. As whatever. Like when I was a boy one time, I never really understood the significance, the gravity of this situation until I got older. I knew something bad had just happened, though. It was at the end of an evening service. I was like 5 or 6 years old. They had had a communion service, and one of the teenage boys, who was kind of a wild child, okay? At the end of the communion service, when they were taking the juice, this do in remembrance of me, and everyone takes their juice. When he kicked it up, he went... I didn't know what was bad, but I knew something bad just happened. You could feel it in the room. I never seen a communion service end so fast. I never seen the pastor move so quickly to address that issue. But carelessness about some of the things of God. The seed of the scornful. Those people, they're going to speak their mind however they choose. And it doesn't matter who gets hurt in the process. They're going to say what they're going to say because they're right, after all. They know they're right, so they're just going to say it. Listen to what the Bible says. A soft answer turns away wrath. And I've heard it said this way, you can catch more flies with honey. James 3, 5 through 10. Look at these verses with me. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. The godly man, or let me finish reading here, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. And then we're running down someone to someone else. Blessings and cursings out of the same mouth. God says, these things ought not so to be. The godly man, the godly woman is opposed to godless thinking, to lawless living, and godless speaking as well. We don't tolerate it. We don't like to be around it. We're opposed to it. How many of you are opposed to abortion? Raise your hand. Thank you. If I started promoting abortion, would you say something to me about it? You better. You better do more than just say something to me about it. Some of you men better have a talk with me out back, maybe, okay? Because obviously I slipped sometime over the weekend and bumped my head, and I need to re-bump my head to maybe set things right again. It's because you're opposed to it. Are we opposed to godless speaking? Or do we just tolerate it? Ignore it. Stay away from it. That's good. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, if it's each other, we need to help each other with that too. Now, that's the end of verse 1. See, I told you it's going to take us years to go through this book. But let's move on to verse 2. His delight, but it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And now God shifts here, and we're going to the man or woman of God is in favor of these following things. This is the positive. We looked at what he's opposed. Now here's what a man or woman of God is in favor of. He appreciates the word of God. Now, folks, we just need to ask ourselves these questions. Do I appreciate the word of God? And well, I guess maybe define appreciate. I appreciate, there's a lot of things I appreciate, but they're not necessarily part of my daily life. Okay? And there's, you know, there's times when we read something from the Bible and, oh, that was good. Yeah, that encouraged me. I appreciate God's word. I appreciate you sharing that with me. But if we showed appreciation to our spouses the way we maybe show appreciation to God's word, that might not be a good thing, would it? The life that is blessed by God, the happy life, okay? The happy life, the godly life, can never be separated from reading and studying God's word. They are inseparable. Why do we have weak, ineffective Christians? It isn't because we don't have a program for them and their life group. It isn't because we have old-fashioned music. It isn't because of the style of preaching. It isn't because of the length of the preaching. Or we have a youth pastor or an assistant pastor, or we don't have any of those things. None of that has anything to do with weak, ineffective Christians. It is because of the neglect of Bible reading. How do I know that? because it says in the New Testament that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It doesn't say programs get into the soul and heart of man. It doesn't say music gets into the soul and heart of man. It doesn't say the right style of preaching is where the power is. It is the Word of God. And when we neglect that in our lives, we are neglecting the source of happiness and joy in our lives. Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb." That's the Word of God. If I'm having a down day, my solution is not another cup of coffee, okay? Contrary to what some of you may think. My solution is I need to just spend some time with God. So many times, and we'll see this as we go through Psalms, and I don't know how long we'll spend in Psalms, but so many times as we read through the Psalms, we see David in a moment of depression, discouragement, he's down. He's recounting at the beginning of the Psalm how everyone's against him and his enemies are after him and he's falsely accused and he's mourning or he's sorrowful. But then I remembered God. What you've done for me. And I remember this. And I remember that. And he goes back to God's Word. And the result at the end of the psalm, woo, he's having a shout and fit praising God. That's the source of joy. How is our appreciation of the Word of God? The godly man also, number two, appropriates the Word of God. Folks, it's one thing to know the Bible, but it's quite another thing to actually do the Bible. It's one thing for our car mechanic to know what Chilton's repair manual says about your car. But if he doesn't do it, we're not going to be happy. And aren't you glad that your doctor does what he knows? Well, I know that they said, you know, this medicine will work, but I really like these leeches. Let's try them. It's not just knowing God's Word. We've got to do God's Word as well. Remember the verse from earlier? As a man thinketh, that's what he does. So we have five things in these two verses that will make us a man or woman of God. The first verse, we're opposed to godless thinking, we're opposed to godless living, we're opposed to godless speaking. And then we are to not only appreciate the Word of God, but we're supposed to do the Word of God. There's the five things. Did you notice there's only two things for us to do? If we do those things, everything else falls into place. It's amazing how that works. Now, what's the result of that? Verse 3. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Here's what the man or woman of God becomes. When we oppose those three things and do the two things, this is what a blessed life looks like. Number one, he shows stability. Like a tree, it says, like a tree. In today's world, folks, there is so much instability, and we know it and we see it. Everything is always changing. We can't seem to rely on anything. Social Security, don't rely on it. Okay, I'm just saying. Some little unofficial pastoral advice there. Don't rely on it. Jobs, can't rely on those anymore. Stock market, yeah, right. Don't rely on that. Gas prices, you can't even rely on what you read about coffee. You read one, it says it's good for you, and then they read something else, it says it's bad for you. But in a world like this, a godly man or woman will stand out because they picture stability. Something bad happens. Life happens to them. And they don't fall apart. And people will see that. Because everyone else falls apart. But not a godly man or woman. That's our goal. To be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. How do we get there? We go back to what we're supposed to be opposed to. And then things that we are supposed to do. Read and do God's word. Notice, though, this tree, as it says there in verse 3, was planted. Someone planted that tree. That someone is the Lord Jesus Christ. He planted you where you need to be right now in your life. This says that He is in control of providing what we need. Not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. He provides that. I don't need Dr. Phil to raise my self-esteem. I've got Jesus Christ, who says He is able to keep my heart and my soul, or my mind and my soul, in Philippians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Steadfast, unmovable, remain consistent, remain steadfast, remain stable. My friend, you maybe are trying to plant yourself into God's blessedness. You're going to try to do that. Jesus Christ said, "No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me." He has to do the planting. There will be those who will try to do it their own way, but Matthew 15:13 says this, "But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." I want Christ to plant me, not me plant me because of my good things that I try to do. So the godly man, the one that's planted there by the rivers of water, they're also going to show fruit, as we see there in verse 3. In other words, like it says in James, show me thy faith. If we're truly planted by Christ, there will be fruit. Show it to me. James says, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is a dead faith. In other words, it's saying, if you have faith, there will be works. There will be fruit. And number 3, this godly man or woman shows consistency. Notice there in verse 3, it says, his leaf also shall not wither. The leaves on a tree or on a plant, they're connected to ultimately the roots. They get their life from the roots. Cut the leaf off the tree, what happens? The leaf dies, but not the tree. People, folks, can't see our roots, but they can see our leaves. They can see our leaves, whether they're withered or bearing fruit. Withered leaves, withered fruit are a sign of a withered life. And there's a problem. But a godly man or woman, number 4, also shows prosperity. All right. We all want some prosperity, don't we? Here we go. I have this network marketing plan I want to share with you just briefly here, okay? I'm just kidding, okay? Prosperity. God wants us to prosper. God wants us to be prosperous. But not the way the world defines it. His leaf also, it says, shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What does this mean? Folks, it is God's design that all Christians become like Christ. not stagnating, saying, oh, I got my ticket to heaven. All right, I'm in. No matter what I do, I can't lose my salvation. I learned that, and that is true, by the way. So I'll just kind of do my thing, and when I get to heaven, I'll be crying about it. I'll feel real sorry for not having done right, but I'll be in heaven for the rest of eternity. That's pretty good. I'll get over it sooner or later. I would question your salvation if that's your approach to this. God designed it so that we all become more like Christ. And what I mean by more like Christ is, okay, here's where I'm at when I got saved, and here's where I'm at now, so I am now more like Christ. Okay, I can stop now. No, God's design was so, is that we would be becoming more and more and more and more and more like Christ. Constantly growing to be more like Christ. And the result of being a godly man or woman is that we are continually growing, continually changing. And that gets harder for us as we get older because we don't like change. But yet God says, I want you to be changing continually. If I were to ask, not me, if you were to be asked, or you were to ask yourself this, okay, we just finished 2015, not too long ago. Okay, now spiritually speaking, how did God change me last year? What areas did I grow? What areas did I become more like Christ? What areas did God work on me in 2015? If we just get a blank stare from ourselves in the mirror, we missed something in 2015. We missed growing. It's God's design that we continue to grow and change and be more like Him. Are we men and women of God? Folks, do we really appreciate and do the Word of God? Maybe we've allowed some worldly thinking to enter into how we make decisions. Tolerated certain sins. Christian sins in our homes. How's our speaking been? No one can seriously read this psalm and not examine their own destiny. If we're going to go to heaven, we have to go in God's way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Folks, salvation is by faith. It's not by works. The tree did nothing to plant itself next to the rivers of water. Jesus planted that tree. Would you let us help you this morning sort all of that out by using the Bible? And letting you decide based on what God's Word says about your eternity. God has promised the results of being a godly man or godly woman. He has given us hope that our spiritual life doesn't have to be a struggle. That we can produce fruit and we can do it abundantly. He has promised that we and this church can be effective in this community. But it starts not with Pastor Cody. Praise God, I'm so glad he's here. Now we can start doing something. Nope. And it doesn't start with a really fantastic youth program. We can start reaching this community. Nope. Starts with where you're sitting right now. We must be men and women of God. Now, I just want you to look straight ahead, okay? Don't look at anyone next to you or beside you, and certainly don't turn around and look at the person behind you or anything like that, okay? Just look straight ahead. Blank stares. You've been here a little while. You've seen a lot of different people here this morning. Probably recognize most of them, okay? Now, in your mind, what I want you to do is say, okay, of all the people here, how many would I say are real men or women of God? They're godly men, godly women. How many of those would I give that sign to and hang on them? In your mind, you're thinking of that. Okay, when we step out of this building, how many godly men and women do you know in the world? It's not a lot, is it? Folks, we have to get this. If we are a godly man, a godly woman, we will stand out in this world. We will stand out in this community. We won't be like all the other nominal Christians. We're going to be different. We're going to stand out because of what we're seeing here in this short psalm. We must be men and women of God. That's how we reach our community. It starts right here with us. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, God, as we come to you this morning here in closing, thank you for this psalm. Thank you for the direction and the foundation that it sets here for us. God, I would ask that each one of us, that each one of us would search our own hearts here this morning and just ask ourselves the question, am I that person of God? And if the answer is no, then we would ask God, what do I need to change? What is it that you want to change in my life? And then God, I ask you that your Spirit would work in our hearts and that we would make those choices this morning. We would make those commitments. We would forsake what needs to be forsaken. We would be obedient to where we need to be obedient. We would be doers of the Bible. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning who doesn't know you as their Savior, who's not sure if they're planted by the rivers of water, that they would allow us to help them sort that out. We ask that you would have your way here in these closing moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Standing with our heads bowed and our eyes closed as the instruments play.